And let's do that again. Let's just praise him for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Welcome to Harvest Ministries. Amen. The greatest church in Southwest Missouri and beyond. Amen. Such delight to see all of you here. And I just pray that each and every one of us, however you got to convince yourself, whatever you got to do, for the next 2 or 3 hours, just get your mind focused on why you're here today. And, you know, there's a lot of things that's going on in this world. There's a lot of things that's going on in our families, in our lives. And we just need to figure out why we're here. Amen. I'm here because I need a touch of the Holy Ghost. I'm here because I want to be in his presence. I'm here today because I need to hear from the Word of God. I'm here today for a lot of reasons. I'm here to even see you fine folks today. But most importantly is I want to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And I think when you think about everything that he has done for you throughout all of your years, things he's brought you out of, things he's delivered you from, the sheer kindness and goodness of the Master, what he has done for us. I think we owe him everything, but it shouldn't be too hard to come in here and invest in a couple hours on a Sunday. And I don't know why I'm saying all of this, but it's just, we're here, let's focus on him, and let's give God our best today, amen? It's not about the personality that's in this pulpit right now. It's about his word and getting his attention, amen? And I want to surrender myself to him, and I hope that I can be a blessing to you all. And I pray and trust that I have heard from the Lord, and we're gonna get into the Word here in just a moment. But just one more time, would you just please lift up your hands towards heaven, and would you just tell Jesus how much you love him? Thank him for his blessings. Thank him for his kindness. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for the forgiveness of your sins. Thank him for filling you with the Holy Ghost. And then thank him for his word. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. Lord, what an honor it is to be in your house. And Lord, I feel your presence here. And that's what we've been looking for. That's what we've been anticipating, is to be in your presence. And God, I ask you, Lord, that you would use me, Lord, to speak to these precious people. And Lord, I pray for anointing, and that you would touch my mind and anoint my lips. And Lord, I ask for the mind of Christ. And I ask you, Lord, that you would speak through me. Because, Lord, I know it's nothing that I can say or do. But, Lord, through your Spirit, through your Word, you can touch every heart that's in this place. You can convict us to where it would draw us to an altar of repentance. And, Lord, I'm thankful for that. In Jesus' name, bless your Word today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to read several verses of Scripture. And so you don't have to stand. If you'll just give me just a second. Amen. I got this iPad for a lot of reasons. One of them was, it's like, well, I need to catch up with times and quit depending on Word document and printing off and saving ink for the church. And it's like, man, I've got it, so I've got to use it. But I brought a backup just in case. Amen. Technology's okay, I guess, for some things. Amen. Again, you don't have to stand, but we want to continue discussing on the Fruit of the Spirit series. And Sister Beth, I didn't include this in my notes that I sent to you, but go ahead and pull up Galatians 5 and 22 and 23, I think it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That's what we're going to talk about today. Meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Amen. So again, we're going to continue this series of lessons, and I'll give you my title here in just a moment. But Mark chapter 5, verse 21 through 36 says this. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And Jairus, he besought him greatly, saying, now you have to understand where Jairus is and what's going on in his world, okay? He said, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Now, what a declaration of faith by this man already. And verse 24, Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And during all of this chaos, a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and she had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather she had grew worse. And so when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. And for she said, if I just may be able just to touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. What a declaration of faith. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and you're saying, who touched me? And he looked round about Jesus, about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all of the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, and he's talking to Jairus now, thy daughter is dead. When you got here to come and see Jesus, she still had life in her. But Jairus, your daughter is dead. So why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, but only believe. And so I want to read verse 35 again. This is where I will pull my title from. While he spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And so we're talking about faith here today, but as a subtitle, I want to talk or ask this question rather, why troublest thou the master any further? Now, before I can go any further in this simple Bible study this afternoon, I must ask you if you would to be so kind to turn with me and let us read Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without, what's that next word? Faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One key phrase or statement that I want to draw your attention to is this. We must believe that he is. Amen. Let me share with you a few things that I believe. I believe in the Word of God. I believe what Hebrews 4 and 12 says. For the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. I believe that. I also believe what John 1, 1 through 3 says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's something I believe. I believe in the Word of God. I also believe what it says in Colossians 1, 14 through 17. It's talking about Jesus here, but Jesus Christ is in whom we have redemption through his blood. Is anybody thankful for that today? We have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Talking about Jesus here, but who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, it wasn't evolution, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That is something that I believe. Now, I also believe that Jesus Christ is all-powerful. Matthew 28 and 18 says this, all power is given unto me, or given rather, unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, I also believe that Jesus has the authority, that Jesus has the ability to do absolutely anything. That's something that I believe. I also believe that with men who entertain doubt, men who perhaps entertain fear, men who will give up because of what he sees in the flesh and cannot accomplish much of anything. However, Jesus said in Matthew 19 and 26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. That's something that I believe. I agree with that. Ladies and gentlemen, we must again believe that he, Jesus, is the one true living God, and we must believe that he can do absolutely anything. Does anybody want to agree with me on that statement? He can do absolutely anything. Now, I pray that if you are in this place today and for whatever reason you have allowed your faith to diminish, and perhaps you have entertained the thoughts of doubt and fear, I sincerely pray that you would just ask Jesus to help your unbelief, and that your faith would be resurrected, and that you would not only believe that he is, but that you would also diligently seek after him. Because if you will believe again that he is, and believe that he can, and if you will diligently seek him, not only will you find him, but you will be rewarded because of your faith. I think that's just what we read in Hebrews 11 and 6. If you will diligently seek after him, you will find him. Amen. God spoke to Jeremiah in chapter 32, verse 27, and said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He's asking this question. God also spoke to Abraham and Sarah concerning Sarah being able to become pregnant with promise at her old age. But Genesis 18 and 14, God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Again, perhaps there are some in this place today that think that your miracle is dead, and maybe you think your miracle is impossible. But can I ask you this question? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He is? Come on now. I know this is just morning manna, but it's okay to say amen if you believe it. If you believe it. Do you believe in this place that Jesus Christ is all-powerful? Do you believe that there is something that's too hard for Him? I see a couple heads shaking their head. No, okay. As for me, now I can't persuade you to believe certain things, but as for me, here's what I believe. I believe that He is, and I believe that Jesus Christ has the ability to deliver you in this place today if you are bound by something. I believe He is able to deliver you. I believe that He can save your soul. When you repent of your sins and you are baptized in the name of Jesus and you are filled with the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in other... Let me just pause here for a second. I'm telling you, it is essential for you to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidence by speaking in other tongues. It's not, well, I think I'll entertain this, or, well, I don't know if it's necessary. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38 still stands today. It is essential to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you're in this place today, then I challenge you, if you've never spoken tongues, this is your day. You can receive the Holy Ghost. If you haven't spoken tongues in a long time, this is your day where you need to pray until something happens, and you need to pray until you speak in other tongues. Now, that wasn't in my notes, but that was good anyways, free of charge. I'll get back to my notes. I believe, now I'm just telling you things I believe. You believe what you want to, but this is all about me and what I believe for the next few minutes. But I believe that Jesus Christ has the ability and the power to heal your body. I believe that He has the ability to touch your mind. He can do absolutely anything. I believe that He is well able to perform whatever He needs to perform in your lives today. Now, let's go back to our scripture text, Mark chapter 5, 21 and through 36, and let's respond to this question in verse 35, why troublest the master any further? And of course, we've got two scenarios going on here. We first have a certain man who has obviously heard of Jesus Christ, and he had heard of the miracles that Jesus had before, and so his hope, his faith, had led him into seeking this man, Jesus, seeking him out. Now, Jairus was in a desperate situation. Again, his daughter was close to death, and Jairus and his daughter needed a miracle now. And Jairus perhaps could have thought, you know, Jesus perhaps don't even know my name, and perhaps he don't even know my circumstance. And I know he appears to be on a mission, and I perhaps don't need to interrupt or even trouble the master, but I need a miracle in my life now. And my last hope is to trouble the master. I must trouble the master. I've got to do whatever I can to get his attention. Come on now. And so Jairus, he diligently sought after Jesus. And when he had got close enough to Jesus, the first thing he did was fall at the master's feet. Now, here's a key point. Not only do you have to believe in Jesus Christ today, ladies and gentlemen, not only must you seek after him, but when you find him and you fall at his feet as an expression of humility and worship, I promise you, you will get the attention of the master. Amen. Again, Jairus had troubled the master, and he finally had the attention of Jesus. And Jesus began to head towards to the ruler's house, and all of a sudden, Jesus gets interrupted by a certain woman. And she had problems of her own. She had an issue of blood. And she had also heard of this man called Jesus. And she had heard of all the miracles. And so her faith also was very, very high. And she believed in him and his ability. And so she also sought after him diligently. And she also perhaps thought, you know, I see Jesus is walking with a ruler from the synagogue, and, you know, I probably shouldn't interrupt, and I probably shouldn't trouble the master. But she had troubled doctors. She had troubled methods, and nothing had worked out for her, Sister Green. And so her approach was a little different. However, she had got close enough to touch just the hem of his garment, and the Bible says that after her expression of faith, and once that she had touched the master, she felt the affliction leave her body. And Jesus was aware. He knew that virtue and healing had gone out of him simply because she troubled the master. And here's where I want to focus on for the next few moments here. While all of this was going on, now keep focused on this story here. We've got two different stories going on. But while all of this was going on, perhaps Jairus, again, his daughter was nigh unto death, and he was desperate trying to, and he had finally troubled the master and got his attention. But now he's helping this lady, and perhaps Jairus thought that Jesus had forgot about his need. And then during this time of what seemed to be an interruption or even a delay, a certain man came from Jairus' house and said, "Jairus, your daughter is dead." Now, can you imagine? Put yourself in this scenario. You've tried everything. Your daughter is nigh unto death, and you've finally gotten the attention. You've troubled the master. You've got his attention, and he's connected with you and says, "I'll go with you to your house." And so hope is great. His faith is high. And then all of a sudden, Jairus, during the interruption of this other lady that had some issues, during this delay, "Your daughter has died." So again, a messenger of doubt comes and says to Jairus, and I'm paraphrasing here, but we could probably all relate, you just need to give up. It's too late. Whatever miracle you needed is now useless. So why trouble the master any further? How many times has things or circumstances caused us to entertain the thought of, why should I trouble the master any further? Why troublest the master any further? It seems as though my miracle will never come to pass. Why should I trouble the master any further? It's obvious, or it seems obvious to me, that it's too late. Why troublest the master any further? Just go back home and accept it is what it is. So why should you trouble the master? Let me encourage you in this simple Bible study this afternoon. God, you've heard it before, his delay, his interruption is not necessarily his denial. He cares for you, ladies and gentlemen, and he wants to deliver you. He wants to heal you, and he wants your miracle to come to pass. Again, may I remind you of a parable of the persistent widow found in Luke chapter 18. She had come and approached a judge who really didn't even believe God, had no fear of God, and he would not avenge this poor widow of her adversary. But here's the key. She continued to trouble that judge. She was persistent. She says, "I don't care, in a sense, what you're doing, what you believe. I'm going to trouble you until I get what I need." And finally, after her continual seeking, her continual persistence, her continually troubling this judge, she got him to avenge her of her enemy. And I like what it goes on to say. And Jesus said, and I'm paraphrasing here, "Why troublest me, the master? Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night, even though it seems your miracle may not come at your time? Again, I'm paraphrasing. He said, God will avenge them speedily because they continue to trust, they continue to seek, they continue to worship. Their faith has never died. They continue to believe that nothing is too hard for Jesus. Boy, you guys are quiet today. Come on, we can all get in these situations, and these messengers of doubt comes our way and says, hey, Brother Medling, give up on that miracle. Give up on that prophecy. Give up on this. You don't need to pray. You don't need to fast. You don't need to trouble the master any further. It's useless. Why are you wasting your breath? Why are you wasting your time? I'll tell you why I'm pursuing and consistent and believing, and I have hope. And I will continue to trouble the master until my need is answered, until my need is met. You have to get in a desperate situation. You cannot afford to listen to the messengers of doubt who comes and say, don't trouble the master. Don't trouble him. Leave him alone. He's got better things to do. Let him work miracles over here with these people. Your miracle's not important. So why should you even trouble the master? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something again. You've heard it. I've already said it. But his delay, the delay of the master, does not necessarily mean that's your denial of your miracle. If you believe down deep in your heart that you heard the audible voice or something, some other method that God said, I will deliver, or I will give you this, I will heal you, take it and mark his word. The Bible says that it's impossible for Jesus to lie. What makes you think he's going to start lying now? It's impossible. Come on now. Why should you trouble the master? Because you have a need. He's never too busy. Amen. So why trouble the master any further? You know, perhaps there's some in this place today, and you've listened to that voice, that messenger of doubt, and you're getting weary and you're starting to believe the lies that, you know what, maybe I misinterpreted that prophecy. Maybe I misunderstood when a minister laid his hands on my life and said, this shall come forth. Whatever. Something happens along the way. Things come along, and it seems like your miracle's been interrupted. And you want to entertain that. Why? Why should I trouble the master? Again, did I misinterpret? Did I hear it wrong? It's been years. But you keep troubling the master. You let him know that you still trust him. You let him know that you still believe in him. You let him know that your confidence is in him and that you'll never stop troubling the master. Amen. But we know how this story ended with Jairus' daughter. It's one of those stories that's powerful. Jairus had every opportunity while he was walking with Jesus. The first set, I've got his attention. I've decided to trouble him. I've got him. And we're walking together. We're heading to my house. My little daughter's sick. She's fixing to die. And then he gets interrupted. Again, put yourself there. Come on, lady. I know that you've got issues too, but so do I. And if something doesn't happen now, my daughter is going to die. But Jesus is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's in control. His timing is always the perfect timing. Now, Jesus could have got to Jairus' house without this other lady interrupting him. And she was sick and just said, hey, be thou healed, and that was good. But here's what I like to think, Pastor. Jesus perhaps thought in the back of his mind, Jairus, I'm fixing to blow your mind. You know what the story that you just got? You just got a message of doubt and said, just give up on getting with me and believing with me. But Jairus, if you'll just hang on, if you'll continue to walk with me to your house, I'm fixing to blow your mind. Your daughter may be dead in your eyes, but I'm telling you, she's just asleep. And when I walk into your situation, when I walk into that room of your little girl, when I say arise, she's going to sit up straightway and she's going to be okay. All because, in my opinion, that's just another way that Jesus wanted to show and demonstrate his power, and that he was able to get even more glory for what he was able to do. Come on now. So why troublest the master? It's a question to you. My answer to you is keep troubling him. Keep pursuing him. Keep seeking him with all of your strength, with all of everything within you. Jesus, Jesus, I need your attention. Would you come to my house? Would you come to my family? Would you come and help me with this or whatever? Keep troubling him. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. He loves you. And I'm going to tell you something. You may not have received your miracle yet, but I promise you, by faith and by the declaration of the Word of God today, when God's timing lines up with your deliverance of your miracle, it's going to blow your mind. I'm telling you. So why troublest the master? Because he promised me something, and I still believe it. I will continue to trouble him. Amen. Maybe you're in this place today and you've not received the Holy Ghost yet, and maybe you have tried and tried, and you just can't seem to get a breakthrough. And the devil says, why trouble Jesus any further? You're not going to ever get the Holy Ghost. You've got too much history. You're too vile of a sinner. Let me tell you something in the name of Jesus today. You keep pursuing. You keep troubling the master, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, our faith in this place today needs to be increased. Our faith cannot waver. We must stand strong in faith and confidence in the Master. Amen. Praise God. That's the enemy's job, is to get you to not believe that your miracle is going to come to fruition. Why don't we stand? But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God, he is in this house, and he is walking by. His spirit is through here. His glory is in this place today. And may I tell somebody in the Holy Ghost that just keep troubling the master. He's here. He's here, I promise you. I feel him so very, very strong. Don't give up on him. Don't give up on your miracle. Your miracle may seem dead, but God can resurrect it. Jesus. Continue to seek him. Continue to worship him. Continue to praise him. Continue to believe that he is well able. And let me just say it again. The question was asked, is there anything too hard for God? My answer, I can't answer for you, but there's nothing too hard for my God. We could take all day, and we could start from my right and work our way all the way over here to the left. And you could probably tell us of a situation to where maybe you thought it was impossible, but somehow in some way you continued to trouble the master, and now you have a testimony. What a deal. You know, there's an old chorus that says this, and I'm not asking us to sing it or play it, but if I could sing, I would sing it for you. But there's an old chorus that says, just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find that he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this very moment. Your needs, he'll supply. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he walks by. You know, and I don't know who even wrote this song. I should have looked it up. That's not relevant per se, but I wonder what this dear, precious songwriter might have been going through when the words of this song come to this person's mind. Maybe this person was at a point where they thought, I'm not going to trouble the master any further. But then something happened in the spirit, and it had a breakthrough. And as they penned these words again, let me just repeat it. Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find today, Sunday, October the 16th, that he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, and your needs he's going to supply. So just reach out and touch the Lord. And I wonder if we could just lift up a hand and just reach out and touch after the Lord. Lord, if I could just even just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole. Jesus, I'm going to trouble you today. Let me remind you of my situation. Let me remind you, Jesus, of those prophecies. Let me remind you of the miracles that I need. But Jesus, even though I may not see it today, I know you've got the power and the ability to deliver. Jesus, I love you so much. God, I truly feel, Lord, that you have ministered to some fine, precious folks in this setting today. I pray, God, that someone has been encouraged through your word. And Lord, we're going to continue to trouble you because we believe in you and that there's nothing too hard for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. God bless you. We'll take a little break here. Give you a chance to go downstairs and pick up your kiddos, get a drink, whatever, and then come back at 5 till for pre-service prayer. Amen. God bless you, Harvest. If there's any guests here today, make sure you greet them. Amen. We'll see you here in a little bit.